Go Loud. Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by FlyFit. With 20 locations nationwide, there's always a FlyFit gym nearby to help you crush your fitness goals. Visit flyfit.ie.
The hip knocker.
Episode 187 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and sponsored by FlyFit. 20 gyms all over the country, and from €35 per month, you can be part of that gym at flyfit.ie. It's me, COB.
It's me, Terry Flower.
And today we're joined by
Craig Coakley.
Coco, not very professional, wasn't it?
It's good, yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah,
that's the brains of the podcast, yeah. As you can tell.
I swear, yeah, I was clinging on, I was digging my nails into my leg down, like, if I fuck this up, because usually I do fuck her up.
And you hate fucking her up, don't
you? Hate fucking
her up. See if we have a reader on, yeah. And he's reading, he gets one wrong. Stop pointing his hand and all. Yeah. Like, relax, pal.
Cut. Because we do get ads to read, yeah. And I always make the mistake, just be like, yeah, let's read it for the first time now, and be like, yeah, blah, blah, and I'll stutter. I should have just read it and then tried to say it out loud, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we're having a good chat.
About the Olympics, boys. Breakdancing was my favourite.
I think it was everyone's favourite.
Yeah.
What was the crack called?
I thought it was a wind-up, because it was at the very end. Yeah. It was that bleeding like the Saturday and the thing finished on the Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And someone sent me a video, I thought it was a wind-up, and Snoop Dogg's doing commentary and all. I was like, this is a bleeding. Do you know what I mean?
AI, like.
Yeah, but if you told me breakdancing the Olympics, I thought it was going to be like fucking Channing Tatum, step up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Body popping and all, socks, get brown, bleeding. Doing what have you. Well, it was shy. The one's lying on the floor, looked like she's having a fit.
She looked like she played and should have been behind the deli or something.
Yeah, trying to do the spin-a-rooney and all. Fuck off, will you?
Ah, heavy boys, yeah. Kelly won gold. Again, Coco.
Second time, yeah.
Fucking
amazing, isn't it?
Like, boys, I don't think people really understand how monumental that is. Like.
Yeah, especially for someone coming from that type of area as well. Like, you know what I mean?
Big time. Like, they're weighing 2 golds, boy. I'm probably just going to open every episode for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Kelly won gold, boys.
It'd be Christmas, yeah. Kelly won gold there in August.
She's the only athlete, Irish athlete ever do that, isn't she?
Irish boxer, anyway.
Irish boxer. I think, didn't you? Amanda Rower.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rowers. And
the only Irish boxer, though.
Yeah.
And when you think Katie was there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it shows how impressive it is.
But I was thinking, because I was down at the homecoming yesterday, and I was thinking, when's the next time you're going to see something like that?
Like that, probably not.
Like,
I even felt like that at the first homecoming.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, boxing's aren't even in the next one. As it stands, boxing's not in the next Olympics,
Well, it's under review, isn't it?
But as it stands, it's not. Too much bleeding, corruption and governing bodies. And the IBA used to run boxing in the Olympics, and then there was so much corruption. The Olympics took her over, and now the Olympics are saying they're not going to do it. And just basically, it's a warning. Like, get your shit together, or else we're not doing it.
Yeah.
But they've known that for a couple of years now, you know.
But
what I mean?
Even there was a few mad decisions at this Olympics as well.
Mm.
You're watching it going, am I?
I think that's all over combat sports, though, to be honest with you. I think once big money's in kind of involved in something, then you're going to get corruption, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I seen the thing today. You know, you won the Irish girl that got ripped. Remember, she had the 2 judges.
Yeah.
And they done a review, and it was like 20 judges who are high risk of corruption. And they were in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you high risk of corruption? How can they look at you and be like, there's a good chance he's going to take a backhander? What does that even mean? How can you judge someone on that? Like, how do you say, we've come to the conclusion. Oh yeah, Coco, you look like you're going to be corrupt. How do you even get to that stage? And then how do you be like, we'll go in there and judge that way?
In the Olympics.
Yeah, do you know, it's great.
The biggest platform of all. Like,
literally, it's a big stage in the world, boys. I'd love to know how many millions watch that.
Crazy.
I'd say it, near enough.
But I was thinking, you know, because one, boxing's not there, and then two, who do we have any sort of athlete in any sport coming up that could be in the Olympics next year?
Hmm.
Now, I'm on about from our area.
Yeah. Well, there's I think like areas like ours, they build like fighters, do you know what I mean? Like, in my opinion, struggle breeds success.
Yeah.
Or addiction, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're gonna go one way or the other, do you know what I mean?
It's bittersweet though, isn't it? That's all fighters.
All fighters.
You'd love to have, because
abroad or
I know it? Yeah, I know plenty of young people too are fast on their feet, yeah, like, you know, yeah, what I mean, yeah. Imagine if someone at like 13 or 14
sirens behind them,
oh that's it,
you know what I mean,
yeah. Well, at 13 or 14 if someone had to put them on a track and said look and taught them technique and discipline, where we'd be, you know what I mean. So I'd love to just steer a few more people towards other avenues, other sports. You know what I mean?
See the amount of Olympians we could have had over the years. Like I would have boxed out saviors when I was a kid up to my teenage years, and like I'd be looking up to all the older lads, and when I look from where they are now, all of them have potential to be Olympians. So it was one of the best boxing clubs in Ireland. And then now
some of them are,
you know what I mean? And you just think, fucking hell, like if crazy, they were just nurtured correctly, you know what I mean? And then as well, with boxing and corruption, boys, especially like,
turn you off,
take a few bad losses and you go, fuck that sport.
I'm not doing this anymore.
You're going another way, you know? And then how easy it is to go the other route. Yeah. So that's the problem, like, you know? Mm. But yeah, it's a pity, boys. Craig, I have a question for you. I ask most fighters this question. Remember your man Simon Jordan?
Yeah.
Simon Jordan has this take that combat sports and martial arts and things like that, but boxing in particular, he said, but I think he means all of
that. No, I think he said it for MMA as well.
As well, did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said that it's just violence. What was the actual term he said?
Was it like violence masked as entertainment or something like that, wasn't it?
It was something like that. Let's just say.
He's basically just trying to put it down. Like.
Yeah, he said it's just violence.
I don't think he even believes it, to be honest, Coco. Yeah. I think it's clickbait.
Yeah, you know, just to try and get paid.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
All combat sports are violent, but I don't think that it's just violent. I think that gives you probably do have, like, for instance, myself, like, I probably would have been played in a completely different place now if I hadn't got this. Do you know what I mean? I got into a lot of fights growing up also, but after, I say, probably a year of training, year and a half of training, I wouldn't get into fights outside anymore. Because you kind of know what you can do to someone then once you hit a certain stage, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And risk versus reward, it's not worth it, do you know what I mean? So it does change, like, kids or people in general, changes them from being violent into, like, more calmer people, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, especially people from areas like ours, like you said. Where we come from, boys, it's fucking so rough. It's rough. And then we can get kids off the streets and get them in and learn the discipline and routine and things like that.
Yeah.
So how can you just call that
violence? It's not.
With all the benefits that come
from it, yeah. 100%.
Combat sports, you get me? What we do with every guest, pal, take us back to the start. Where are you from? What was life like growing up?
I'm from Liberty House, small little flats in Railway Street.
I wouldn't say small.
The yard off.
It was three blocks.
That was Sean McDermott Street, fucking there was Mary's Mansions, and there was the back of it. What was the back of it called?
Lord's House.
Lord's, yeah. That's over by you.
Yeah.
Lord's.
They were my
flats.
There
was another one. No.
Jude's Gardens.
Jude's.
Yeah.
They weren't our flats though.
Yeah, but then the block beside it.
I'm inside and there was one, yeah, two. The block around the back wasn't actually a block.
No.
No.
Little half a block.
Hardway, no.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Little duck arse.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
end of the block.
Rough enough area, but like Anne, you're kind of what you're brought up in, you don't really know. A lot of crime, a lot of drugs, but lovely place to grow up at the same time, you know what I mean? Everyone kind of looked after each other. It was the type of flats where, like, you leave your door open, you'd hopefully wouldn't get robbed.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you into fighting from a young age?
No, very soft. Very, very soft when I was a kid. But grew into it. I was actually, used to love Power Rangers. Used to go around blading on rollerblades, causing murder, thinking I was a Power Ranger. Then
you got a hiding off someone.
Yeah, few hidings. And then go home, and you know, all the world would be like blading. You go out there and kill them. I'd be like, oh, don't make me do this. You know what I mean? And then gradually kind of got interested and intrigued and fighting. Like, my older brother had always kind of fucking, he wouldn't like force me to go to the gyms, but he'd be like, Mum, hate it, absolute hate it. What? Skip over there, hit that bag, spar him, get the head punched off, yeah, live, and that was it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was no like fucking, like, do this, like, when you jab, turn your hand out, make sure your feet are planted, keep your stance wide. There was no real instruction unless you were actually really good. Do you know what I mean? So, didn't really like it. About 13, 14, found jiu-jitsu. Loved it. Trying to aim up, up in Facebook Boxing Club.
Yeah. How would you find that, Coco? Because jiu-jitsu back then was unheard of.
Loved it.
Yeah, how did you actually discover it though?
Through the lads in school. So Corda, Steve Mulch and someone else in my school was going to this gym. We were telling everyone about it. And then they were wrapping people in balls. So it was like, what's going on here? Do you know what I mean? It was like, can I go up with you? And,
yeah.
Met him on fucking, he took a liking to me. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It was all right at the jits. Wasn't great. Was in and out a good bit because still in the flats. But that was kind of my first love in martial arts, if you get me. I done it for about a year and a half, fell off, got heavily involved in the flats. So completely lost interest in all martial arts then. But was going to get back, probably sitting around flats a bit too much, ended up getting into drugs, smoking hash, smoking weed, fucking getting up to no good. Like at that age, I was kind of like, what do you do, what do you don't, do you know what I mean? And just hanging around with the wrong type of people. I'd say about 16, 17 was where I was like at my worst, I'd say. Me all over the blade and ended up taking me out of flats, bringing me out, blade and a gym. I can't remember the name of the gym, it was on Parnell Street. I was like a ninjutsu gym, like swinging swords and all. I swear, it was mad. I was in there for a couple of months and wanted to compete. Your man was telling me, blade, that I needed to do a bit of striking to compete. So went and found this little gym. I don't know, it's now no O'Connell Skill. There was the electrical shop facing O'Connell Skill. Do you know the lane?
Mambo's Lane.
No, not Mambo's, the opposite side.
Yeah.
It was in a lane, down that lane.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mad. Found this little Muay Thai gym and absolutely fell in love with it.
So that's how you discovered it, because back then, blade.
Nah, there was no such thing as any blade in combat.
I always say, I've said it since the start of this podcast, the first person I ever heard about doing that, that was Corda.
Yeah.
And we thought that was the strangest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't got a clue where it was.
Yeah.
So we'd be calling it that karate show, you know. Do you get me?
Yeah,
no clue of where it could go or what it was about. Like.
Yeah. But you know what? Something now and it's going to ail him. You used to be going around leg kicking people and all, and elbowing people properly.
I was playing a kid then, no. I used to be going around starting trouble.
No, you'd be standing around the flats and you'd be coming over leg kicking people and all. Yeah. And be like, what are you doing? Because no one else could do it. Yeah. And I'd be like, what the fuck is going on here? People just dropping and all. What's that happening to him?
And a good leg kick at
doing
that.
And people are like, how the fuck is he doing? And everyone's like, he's doing that blade match shit and all. And that's nice. Everyone was shitting. It was like
the UFC stuff.
Yeah, it was like witchcraft. Yeah. You were just touching people and you were dropping, but you weren't leg kicking them. And I remember thinking, right, if he comes over here, I'm just going to stand over the other side.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like everyone trying to stand around, have a few bottles and all, Coco's leg kicking people. It's like, bollocks, boys. Like, what do you do?
So
pick up a pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the next step, isn't it? Pick something up quick. So you went into that just for the love of it then, because obviously,
I was just intrigued, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wasn't like playing. I didn't wake up and was like, I want to do this or anything like that. Because it was at a stage where I turned into a little bit of a cunt. I was a soft kid. I started getting bullied and then I turned into a bit of a bully. I was going around acting a bollocks all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Leg kicking people and all.
But I was intrigued to be able to defend myself, do you know what I mean? Properly, not just blading. I'd be able to train two digs, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And that's when I kind of found jiu-jitsu, yeah.
So you know firsthand what it's actually like to go into a combat sport, then go down the wrong road, let's just say, from hanging around the flats and that. Mm. But luckily enough,
changing it.
You got back into it. Yeah. What was Muay Thai like for you then when you found it?
I loved it. It's, as you were saying, violence. It is. It is a violent sport, but it's beautiful. Do you know what I mean? It's beautiful violence. People think you're just going in, throwing elbows, throwing digs, throwing kicks, you're not. Like that, there's a lot of setups, there's a lot of fakes, and it's very intricate, do you know what I mean?
It's so calculated.
Yeah, you have to be.
Like, it's not as simple as just getting in.
Trying a kick or trying a dig or trying an elbow. You know
like,
what
if I grew up now and try and leg kick you, you're just going to check it immediately. Yeah.
And then probably sweep it as well.
And people don't understand that there's all these details to these sports.
Too fighting,
Do you know what I mean? It's not just as simple as that.
Yeah. There's a lot of culture involved as well, but I'm sure we'll come around to that. Yeah. It's more than just like, here's a ring, there's two fellas. There's
especially
a lot
toy boxing.
Yeah.
In Thailand, like, it's mad. Like, so they have like stuff called the white crew, where when you go into the ring, it's a dance basically. Like you go in and you do a dance before you fight. Like.
Yeah, and the music plays.
Yeah, music plays. Yeah,
yeah.
You were probably seeing it when you went to the show. Yeah. They were like, doing the flappy thing, and the ropes and all. Like,
I hadn't a clue what's going on.
But that turns most people off. That's what like if you go to a show, like realistically, you go to a show in Ireland, you're gonna have half of the crowd out on do you know what I mean? Then they're looking at someone in the ring doing a dance like a peacock at ropes. Do you know what I mean? Like they're gonna be like, "What the fuck's going on here?"
Yeah.
And then they hear this music. And they're like, "What the fuck is this?" Do you know what I mean?
Come here, it is mad though.
But that's a culture involved.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like it's deep rooted culture.
Yeah.
It's over there. That's to pay respect to your coach. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do that dance to pay respect to your coach. You wear a moncon, it's like this little band that they have around your head with like, so basically what it is, it's like like ripped shorts, like patches off everybody's shorts in the gym. They put it onto this thing that you go in, you wear for when you're going into the ring, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's mad, it's good, like it's nice.
But there's something about that as well that is very intriguing to me.
Yeah, like why? Like, why do they do it? Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not sitting here going, that's fucking mad. I've heard many of things in this podcast and went, that's very blatant strange. Many of things. Trust me. I'm not sitting here thinking that with that. And even when I seen the boys doing it when I was over in Thailand, I seen it firsthand. I remember thinking, this is actually legal. It was mandatory. Yeah. But like I said, then if you have
you go to a show in Ireland and you see all this, like half the crowd's going to be blading saying, what the fuck's going on here? Like,
I just want to see a good knock.
But the idea when the end, like, because that's all it is good fights.
You can't get a bad fight in either.
No, you don't. Well, sometimes there's stadiums in Thailand where like the style is to just score. So it's to be real pretty, sit back, score. Right. They're forced on the last round. They don't actually fight. So the first round, they'll go out and they'll like dance in front of each other a little bit, play and try and feel each other out. But the last round, what usually happens is the lad that knows he won. So like if. Like
dance around the
ring, do you know what I mean? And they'll touch gloves and like that's you conceding. Do you know what I mean? You tell them, right, you know you're after winning. But that's because they fight blading every other week. Do you know what I mean? Like they literally fight every 2 to 3 weeks.
I was sent to Coco on the way over. I was seeing when I was over in Thailand. I went to an event.
Yeah.
And a young fella got knocked out. Did I tell you this now?
No.
Got knocked out with an elbow at the very end of the first round and the bell went. But he was asleep on the canvas. And his two coaches jump in, right, pick him up, he's all limp, slap him against a stool, fuck a bucket of water in his face, slap the head off him, right? He wakes up, right? There's no word he is or anything. They're saying, obviously in Thai, wake up, like. I knew what they were saying, but you know what I mean? Trying, like, wake up, you cunt, and fight. Fella went on a 4-5 rounds and nearly won the fight. Nearly won the fight, bro.
That's really a
split decision.
Yeah, he's probably dead. But you know what I was thinking? They must know that about this fella. I must have a weak old chin, gets put asleep off. I comes back to life, do you get
me? You know, every other blade and training, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So come here, Coco, you're 16, 17, you're 7, you find Muay Thai. What age when you start saying, like, I'm going to get into this full time? Yeah, taking it serious,
I was in youth reach, done a course in sports and leisure management and ended up really liking that. Went to college, do the same course, wanted to get further education on it. About halfway through it, I was like, this isn't for me. Just getting good opportunities and fighting. Had my first title fight for Four Nations title. And it was like, the workload here or the workload there, do you know what I mean? I wasn't able to do the two of them.
Yeah.
So that's when like I made the decision to like go full time and just train.
So you represented Ireland?
Yeah.
At Muay Thai?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
It's mad though because that...
See, it's like it really is like an underground sport. Like, you know what I mean? It's like underground knocks and all. Like, but now, like, when I started, there was nothing to look up there. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No shows.
No pathway.
Like, right, there's where you go. Do you know what I mean?
this is what I wanted to ask you about that, because like when you're doing Muay Thai and you're starting to get these fights and whatever, it's like who are you looking up to go, yeah, if I take this path, I can
I go there.
Yeah.
Like, nobody. I was looking at boys and I was saying, oh, he's deadly.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a style like him, you know what I mean?
So you're just rolling with it. So you are doing it for the love of it.
Yeah.
You don't think you don't think
make
money.
And no joke, like my first fight, C-class fight, my first pro fight, I got paid €50. Literally €50. Four drinks that night, you know what I mean? Like that was it. So like there was no money in it whatsoever. Like even like your world title fight, I fought for €2,000. Do you know what I mean? I fought for a world title and I fought for €2,000. Like, you think like any other world champion, much are they fighting for? They're fighting for like at least $10,000 to $50,000. Do you know what I mean? Like, any world champion boxer,
they're
saying millions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like,
so you have the Four Nations fight. You said you won that title.
Won that title just before that fight is when I stopped down everything else. I kind of get myself away in the flats.
So you were still acting the bollocks and fighting?
Still acting the bollocks and fighting, yeah. For a couple of years. To be honest, it was only really when I had my child that I stopped acting the bollocks, like purely acting the bollocks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Kids do something to you, they do.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like as in acting the bollocks, going out, starting trouble or anything like that, but I was still like the party a little bit. Fucking
doing stuff you shouldn't have been
doing. Yeah, wasn't taking fighting seriously. Do you know what I mean? I was doing it just because I liked the knock, basically.
Yeah.
Then just before I had that fight, I was in college. It was like, I was either gonna go be a PT, be a chef, or fight. So it was like, fuck it, we're fighting.
And that was that.
You said when your child came along, you just fully stopped.
Yeah. Acting the bollocks. Like,
when was this?
Well, Lily is 7 now. 7 years ago.
7 years ago, you would have stopped and you said it changes you. What was that like for you at that time?
Well, it was a bit mad at the start. I was just fucking... When we only had the baby, we were kind of living... Me and my girlfriend were living between the two houses and that, which was hard because, you know, yourself, when you have a child, your man and all, like, busy gaffs. People clash, you know what I mean? So we ended up going homeless. It was 2 years homeless. We were 2 years living in hotels, basically. And, like, still trying and still fighting, still very active fighting, you know what I mean? But, yeah, like, when I had Lil, that was, like, when I was like, right, I need to be very, very serious about what I'm doing here. I need to try and start making money. Can't be fighting for buttons anymore. Need to walk. So, yeah, it was 7 years ago was when... We went full tilt.
Fucking hell. So like, see when you were saying you were still taking fights, you were still very active.
Mm.
How the fuck were you managing that?
Yeah, no, it was hard. It was like it wasn't like we played just dead in the hotel, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We obviously were still going into my ma's and going to home ma's, but it was the food more so than that. It's trying to keep a diet when you're living in playing a hotel, you know what I mean? You can't cook your own food. And like, being a fighter, like, you need to know what's going into you, you know what I mean? You need to know what like what's fueling you. Can't be going out and just eating takeaways the whole time. Like, but that would have been probably the hardest part about it. But other than that, like it's just kind of a process. Like imagine getting told you have to wait 10 years before you're gonna get housed and you have a child, do you know what I mean? Wasn't ideal.
You want to help people's fucking dreams and goals just fucking shattered, isn't it? Life.
Yeah.
So something like maybe barrier, isn't it?
Yeah,
like when you have something
but
like
that's that. Why a lot of people look up the gangsters and drug dealers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because you see these people and they've all this money and they've the best of clothes and doesn't look like that they own very much. Do you know what I mean? So that's why you'd end up going to that route. Do you know what I mean? You see these hard working men going out, busting their balls, coming home. They can't pay bills. They can't do anything really. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's something that we actually spoke about on the podcast many a times. Is how simpler it is to get down that road
again. Especially where we're from, do you know what I mean?
Because you look.
Walk outside your house and you see it.
Yeah, you're growing up and you see lads just standing over there in the corner.
Yeah.
And they're wearing down Rolexes.
Down that. And all of a sudden, they have Moncler jackets on, wearing Rolex. And
how appealing to that as a young kid?
Very.
You know what I mean?
You come home, you probably see your dad come home from a hard day's graft and he can't afford to blade and get you a nice dinner or a takeaway. Do you know what I mean?
And there's people doing wads of cash.
You know what I mean?
But it's the thing is like
fast money though.
Yeah.
Can't do nothing with, and even the ones that they'll really make it, let's say, like, do they ever?
You know, imagine having to look behind your back the whole.
That's the one thing I always said. You never have to worry about spending your money. You have to look over your shoulder spending your money.
Yeah.
You never owe anyone anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's
you
not
don't
even
have any fear of anyone coming and trying to kill you. Like,
whether
you know
it be someone or whether it be the police, don't have to worry about it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you can't fucking buy that. That's what I mean.
Yeah. It's constantly that.
But I mean, you buy something and then it just gets chased in anyways.
Yeah.
How do you prove how you have to walk now for bleeding? 1 million gaff.
Yeah.
You've not walk in your CV. Like. So it's a pointless real.
Walk. Yeah. Just a little more. You turned pro, yeah.
Turned pro after we only had 3 amateur fights. You turned pro.
What?
Yeah.
You were itching for a knock.
I was going,
He was like, just turn me over.
Yeah, let's go. No, we only had 3 amateur fights. Yeah. See, it's different than toy. It's there's no padding records either. Like, you see,
yeah,
a lot of MMA fighters and a lot of boxers, they'll have 10 fights.
Yeah, boxing especially.
And then they'll have their first actual fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So they'll gain a record before they'll actually fight somebody. With Toy, it's not like that. With Toy, it's like the best fight, the best instantly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I fought so I was only explaining this to you earlier. There's like stages of you going pro as well. So like when you're amateur, you have shin pads on, big gloves on, headgear. And when I was fighting, there was belly pads. Yeah, so like you look like a robot man popping in, you know what I mean? Then there's C-class is your first step into pro. It's you take the shin pads off, take the headgear off, all the padding, and it's 3 rounds, 2 minute rounds, no elbows, no knees to the face. B-class is 5 rounds, 2 minute rounds, no elbows, you can knee to the face. And then A-class, full 3 rounds, elbows, 3 minute rounds, 5 rounds, go, do what you want. Basically,
survive.
Yeah, like 12-6 elbows, elbow to the back of the head, kick to the spine.
You say elbow to the back of the head?
Head? Yeah.
Fuck off.
Swear to God.
Can you?
Yeah. If someone turns and you throw an elbow and you hit them in the back of the head, it's illegal.
Don't turn around.
Yeah, but that is it. You know what I mean? Like, there should be no reason for you to turn your back in a fight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Especially because boys, you see the odd time in boxing.
In boxing, they're like this, jogging away.
Yeah,
and then it happens as well. Like a little
trying to set yourself,
then you try and run around to reset.
Yeah,
but if that happened, until you'd get an A count. Like if you tried to jog a little bit away, you'd get an A count. The referee'd start counting it.
It's mad, isn't it? The different rule sets. Like you're not even aware of it.
It's so full throttle.
Speaking of the rule sets, so I was at your fight out in Talla. I think it would have been 2019.
Singnam, we weren't talking about this.
Was this that fight?
So this is the one where.
So where did I watch that then?
I don't know.
Darren Till was at the fight.
Yeah.
It's
when I fought Toy. First Toy I ever fought. It was one of the best toys in the world.
Yeah. And I was at that, and I remember Lee, your brother, had up that you had clarified what's the rule set, and he said it's this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
So Muay Thai basically is scored on effect. So if you hit your opponent and they move, or you hit your opponent and they show that like a horse or anything like that, it scores. It's not scored round by round, it's scored over the fight. So you could lose 3 rounds of a fight, come back in the last 2 and win it. Do you know what I mean? So it's scored in its entirety rather than all through round by round, right? This is pure Muay Thai, right? Then WBC is like, so see the way there's like different brands in boxing, IBA, blah, blah, blah. Same as Muay Thai. But like if you were to fight in stadiums, this is how they score it. Now, because of gambling, scoring has changed. Then it starts out more kickers. So if you sit back and you can control the pace of a fight, you can move and kick, more than likely you'll win. But WBC, how they score it is anything that lands with effect scores. So if you, like in Thai, a body kick will score more than a punch. So I hit you with a dig and you kick me to the body, you're ahead, basically, yeah? Because it takes more technique, it takes more balance, all this type of stuff, right? But WBC score all weapons the same, yeah? So punch, kick, knee, elbow, grant, once it shows effect. So going into that, we were, this is what was said to us, yeah. Grand. So we were like, right. My game plan going into that fight was to try and elbow, just go forward, elbow, try to cut him or land something big, you know what I mean? Because again, in my head, I wasn't outscored in this fella. He's 300 and blade in 40 odd fights, do you know what I mean? Like, one of the best to ever do it, Grant. Then when we got told this, we were like, just box. Do you know what I mean? Boxing's good, like, I've decent hands, much better than most toys, do you know what I mean? So just box, smut at a distance, so his kicks aren't as effective. But yeah, I thought, in my opinion,
everyone thought there was more that.
Yeah, nah, the place got absolutely wrecked.
There was more that, yeah.
But I was saying to Coco earlier, there was no way he was ever going to be allowed to win that.
Yeah, I'd say KO would have got played.
Yeah.
Disqualified.
Like, something big would have happened there, because he's so decorated and so well respected. And like you said, one of the greatest. You're just some young flipping town bouncing in there.
Cause murder.
Yeah.
And win.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know that. Is there any saying this to him as well? So Yokel is the name of that promotion. Yeah. It was one of the biggest brands in Europe. Yeah. It's a toy brand, but they kind of ventured more into Europe. So they had shows in Europe. It was a huge show in England. Do you know what I mean? Same kind of thing. I was brought over there. My first fight was literally only after having Lily, when I only had my first child. I was brought over, two littles, do you know what I mean? I was put against a prospect straight away, stopped them in the third round. They brought me over another prospect, stopped them in the second round, brought me over another prospect, stopped them in the third round. So anytime we've went over, we've brought like 80, 90 people over, do you know what I mean? I was bringing more like people to England than lads that were local on the show. So he kind of got interested in me then, do you know what I mean? He was like, what do you think, that show would work in Ireland? He was like, of course, I'd play and sell the show out myself, like, do you know what I mean? He was like, right. So after me third fight with him, after that, like another stoppage, he was like, right, we'll bring it to Ireland, then we'll bring it to Dublin. This is your opportunity type thing, do you know what I mean? But in saying that, I got ripped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
thinking back to that, everyone was at that. There was people from all over Ireland that are like, people that I know, not from growing up, just now that, like, that I met later on in life. I was like, what the fuck are you doing here? And then people like, Darren Till's upstairs. I was like, what? Darren Till was here. Yeah. Everyone was there. The very stolen over there.
What are you?
Yeah,
they go to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
The
boys were floating around.
One of
their, a couple of their mates.
Cash used to fight. Yeah. But one of their good friends, Jay Council, is actually a very good fighter.
Yeah.
We love Jay, boys. Love his Instagram and all, boys.
He's a lovely lad.
Boys, he's
like David Goggins, isn't he?
The runs and the training and all. I'd be looking at his stuff going, oh, you'll come out and they'll spark someone.
Let's go!
You know what I mean? Or Jay is the man, yeah.
Coco, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but you were one of the first people I knew who went to Thailand. And you went over there early days, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, that was just before the Singnam fight. I actually went over for that fight.
That's mad. What's that like?
Madness, to be honest with you. So the first time I went over, I trained at two gyms. I trained in a gym in Rayong, which was basically the countryside. You had to travel 15 minutes on a moped to get to a shop. Like, it was madness.
Are you on your own?
So there was this lad called Paul Smithers. He's from Cork, but he's nothing to do with Aunt really, but other than like he had a big interest in me. He spoke about a toy and he trained at a few gyms, do you know what I mean? So he was like, look, we can get you sponsored to train at this gym if you want to do your camp out here. I was like, fuck it, Thailand, let's go, do you know what I mean? He says, just pay for your flight, so I'll meet you in Bangkok Airport. I'll bring you to the gym. Grand, no bother. Got over fucking within 2 weeks. There was only three lads at the gym, but they were like 50 kilo fighters. They were tiny. Do you know what I mean? The work that I was getting was great work, but wasn't getting good sparring, wasn't getting good clinching. And it was a little bit like 3 weeks in, I was like, right. One of the lads that trained to us, Stefan Crowdy, was living there at the time in Bangkok in a gym called PK, one of the most famous gyms over there. So I rang him. I was like, look, I stayed for 6 or 7 weeks. Like, I was like, I need to come down to you. Not getting good sparring, or not getting good clinching up here. The lads are too small. Like, Grant, like, how do I get down? Do you know what I mean? Like, what am I going to get down? He's like, you'll just get bus, bro. Yeah, what bus? What do I say to them? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one speaks plain English. So he's like, Paul, you're going to have to bring me to Bangkok. You know what I mean? this little Cork lad, oh yes, bye, no water. Fuck. Yeah, you end up getting lost on the way. We have to take buses, trains, Denblade, mopeds and all, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just as simple as getting one bus on one train and it leaves the way you want to go. It's hefty, it was, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, first time was, it was hard because, like, not much English being spoken or anything like that. Like, so, very hard to get through to people, do you know what I mean? Second time I went over, it's a lot more modernised though, yeah?
Yeah. I just remember looking at the pictures and the videos and all, you're literally in the middle of nowhere in Thailand, like, floating around.
Jim was literally on a river.
Yeah, that's what I remember, on the river. On a river. And they're all coming over on the boats.
Yeah.
Like the shops.
Yeah.
I was selling you the stuff. What a blatant spot, boys. Yeah.
What was, you were saying you went over before that fight. What was your reaction after? Obviously, you felt like you won the fight.
Mm.
What did it do to you then afterwards then? How did you feel? As how did you go forward? In terms of, like, you feel like you were robbed. Did you just get back
just
on the horse?
Got back into it. Like, me, you might have to show towards fighting. Like, I wouldn't dwell on a win, so I'm not going to dwell on a loss. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no point. You sit there and you're going to be like, contemplate it for a week or something like that. And then after that, you're going to just have to get over it.
Mm.
Know what I mean? It's like that with a win. But you see people, when wins go to their head, they get this big inflated ego and then they end up training less. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Because they think they're better than what they are. That's never happened to me, Jordan. Any of me wins, so I'm not going to let it happen to me when I lose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still believe I'm great. Do you know what I mean? But after that, it gave me a sense of, like, I was in there with one of the best to ever do it. Do you know what I mean? And I know I punched the head off him. He knows I punched the head off him. Do you know what I mean? So it gave me more confidence than probably any loss I could have ever got. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I did take more confidence out of that fight than being negative towards it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The big one, you went on the road to one.
Yeah.
How's that come about?
I was actually thinking about packing it in. Right? I fought a couple of times for this organisation, Muay Thai Grand Prix, which ended up being one of the bigger organisations outside Asia. A couple of wins on it. They put me in for a world title fight. Won me world title on it. And I was talking to my girlfriend. And I was like, look, I think that's it. There's not a lot of money in this. I can make more money doing PTs. I might just pack her in. Do you know what I mean? About a week later, we got a call about doing, like, if I would have got the call from one straight away, I would have went. Do you know what I mean? Because this is the real where there's money, do you know what I mean? But Muay Thai Grand Prix had the route to one, so they were putting on a tournament, an 8-man tournament. When I get the contract to one, gave me a shout straight away. I was like, right, the world champion, obviously they're going to have to put me forward for it, do you know what I mean? So I was like, right, we'll take one more crack at a shan, do you know what I mean?
So, seeing that, so it was a tournament, was it?
Yeah, but it wasn't over one night.
No. So it went on for a couple of months, was it?
It went on for nearly a year, yeah.
Right.
Over the space. So what happened was, everyone that started out, and like, as you just know, tournaments literally fall to bits.
Yeah.
Especially fight tournaments, you know what I mean? Started off with A fighters. My side was, these wouldn't know any of the lads, but like, there was a Swedish lad, there was a half Thai lad, and there was, I think he's Egyptian, there was an Egyptian lad. So mine was kind of more so the international side, yeah. Then there was a couple of English fighters on the other side of it, yeah. So four there, you have to beat him to beat him to get through the quarters, finals, yeah.
Yeah,
but like, you're fixed with a side, so whoever gets through on this side fights each other on this side, whoever gets through on that side fights each other on that side. The English lads was chopping and changing, like, there was no tomorrow, like, literally no tomorrow. So they had basically a 4-man tournament the first half of it and a 4-man tournament about a month later. Then obviously they have to wait for fighters to recover.
Mm.
So it just prolonged it a little bit more, do you know what I mean? So it happened, it turned out over the year.
Fucking, like, see the way you were saying though, I thought you were saying they were chopping and changing the fighters.
Yeah, that's what was happening. Like, so my side of the four fighters,
they stayed
the same. But like, the English lads, there was four English lads set to fight, and we don't know, they had about four or five pullouts. So
that's basically holding you up then.
Yeah, they get me because you need that side to be moved.
Yeah,
that's a blame disaster. That.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But cut long story short, you end up winning the tournament.
I end up winning the tournament. Yeah,
it was $100,000 contract.
Contract, but you don't get $100,000. Like, so see this.
So this is what I want you to explain. Yeah,
God, people think you're rich over it.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone,
you had to win $100,000, bro. No. you get fucking your purse for that fight, then you get a contract for one championship, yeah? So the contract entails you can win 100 grand, but it's set out that you can probably make more than 100 grand or you can make a good bit less than 100 grand. Do you know what I mean? So I get paid X, right?
Yeah.
If I win this fight, they give me a little bonus and they add 2 or 3 grand onto your purse every time.
Yeah.
So by the time you hit the end of your contract, you will have made 100,000.
Yeah.
But it's not like 100 grand for each fight or anything like that. No.
That's a scam.
Do you know what I mean?
False advertising. If you had known that, you wouldn't have done it.
No, like, it take me 4 or 5 fights to get what I'm paid for one fight for one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So just to let people know what one is. One is a big... Would you say MMA or no?
Started off as an MMA organisation and ended up taking on submission grappling, then boxing, and now Muay Thai.
Mm.
In my opinion, what's creating the buzz about one is the Muay Thai.
Mm.
So like, you hear any of the big fights, it's Muay Thai fights. I can guarantee you probably don't know any of the MMA lads that's on it.
Mm.
Except for Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's only because he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah. So on the same night, so you only fought 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And on the same night, there was an MMA fight, there was...
submission grappling.
And then your fight, which is Muay Thai.
Yeah.
And then even some fights... are spread across different disciplines as well. So yeah, you could be one round could be MMA, yeah. The next round could be jiu-jitsu, the next round could be whatever.
Thai boxing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Demetrius Johnson done one of them. He done half Muay Thai, half MMA. That. Do you know what I mean?
I like that.
But you know, it kind of brings it back to pride days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where disciplines fight each other. It's not just playing, this was saying earlier as well. The MMA is kind of like you get a really good striker or a really good grappler, like early days UFC, do you know what I mean? There's not great MMA fighters in it. Except for obviously Demetrius Johnson, he is a great MMA fighter, but other than that, there's not really much. But I think it does, it creates a little bit more interest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're 2 fights into your deal now.
2 fights in, not going as we planned.
Yeah, so do you want to tell us what's your debut at one?
So my first fight, I was waiting for a good year for a fight, yeah. Probably the guts of a little bit more than a year. Didn't think I was going to get a fight. It was coming up to the Christmas time. Yeah, obviously coming up to Christmas, having kids, wasn't really trying to do as many PTs as we possibly could, Santi and all that. Just on the bills a little bit, enjoying my Christmas, and we got the call 5 weeks' time. It's look... I wouldn't have turned the opportunity down, do you know what I mean? It's too big of an opportunity. So it's Kai rings me and he's they're after calling. I was for fuck's sake. Couldn't have called at a worse time, in my opinion. Throughout the start of the year, I was on it. I was training full time, but it's very hard to consistently train, try to do PTs, try to be a dad, try to be a coach, try to do everything together, do you know what I mean? So when I'm in camp, I train every single day, regardless. But obviously the intensity of the training varies. If I have a fight coming up, I train a lot harder than I would now, obviously out of camp. So going into that, I wasn't lifting weights, no one really in the gym, no sparring for me. So it was probably the worst time for me to get a fight. Took it anyways, went over, wasn't confident. They put me against a prospect that was on a 6-fight win streak, 6 KOs. For fuck's sake, you know what I mean? Got stopped, fourth round, nice body shot, just got caught clean. Go on, 7 months later, get a call to fight again, do you know what I mean? But I was a little bit smart at this time, I was on it. Had a good camp, my girlfriend and left work towards the end of the camp to let me play and train full time, do you know what I mean? Another prospect. Oh, I'd rather that though as well though. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather a hard fight than an easy fight.
Yeah.
And had a good scrap this time. Gave a good account of myself. Felt like I was winning the first round. Came out very strong. Didn't give him enough respect in the second round. Got caught with a big right hand. We walked onto it. Recovered well. Hurt him at the end of the round. Going into the third, I'd say it was 1-1. And he just kind of edged around out. Oh, he was putting pressure on him. He was landing more volume, but he landed 2 big teeps. Whereas, he landed on top of my chest, so he sent me. Do you know what I mean? Now, it wasn't, a big shot as in it hurt you, but it looks big because, you go off your feet. Do you know what I mean?
Momentum, yeah.
Yeah. That's what won him around.
Yeah. And something that people might not know about the weight cutting in one.
The hydration clause
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, is that? Yeah, yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah. So you don't just have to make the weight, you have to make the hydration.
Yeah.
Amount. So you have to make that weight hydrated because people are going to cut weight anyways. And what this does is it makes you actually cut more weight. So you, before you start your cut, you have to drink 1.5 to 2 liters of water. Every liter is a kilo. So you drink 2 liters of water, it's 2 extra kilo you have to cut. And for people that don't really know, kilos and pounds, it's 4 to 5 pounds. So it's an extra 4 to 5 pounds of weight that you're going to have to cut. So, for instance, I had 6 kilos to cut, drank 2 liters of water, I had an extra 2 kilos to cut. Do you know what I mean? So I had 8 kilos to cut.
And when he came in, he didn't make the weight, did he?
First, we got more than one attempt. First attempt, made weight, didn't make hydration. So I missed hydration by like 0.0005. Like something like ridiculously close to it, yeah? Then, that you're told, right, you didn't pass hydration, you have to go make weight and hydration again, yeah? So you have to go back, drink more water, cut more weight, check it again. Do you know what I mean? So drank another 2 liters of water, but obviously this time I was way more dehydrated than I was the first time because I was after cutting, bleeding 6 kilos of weight already. Then go this time, like missed the hydration by a stupid amount this time. Made weight again. He missed weight. Missed hydration, missed weight, missed hydration. Made hydration, missed weight, right? So we have to, you have to make a catch weight then. Yeah. Yeah? So you're allowed fight if you miss weight, but you're not allowed fight if you miss hydration. So they gave us a time frame and they gave us a weight I couldn't go past, but I had to be hydrated before this weight. So I was 153. I weighed in at 145. I couldn't be above 153, but I had to be hydrated. So if I wasn't hydrated below 153, I wasn't allowed fight, right? If I go above 153, I'm not allowed fight. So it's bleeding bonkers, yeah?
Yeah.
The weigh-ins were at 5 o'clock. I think I only passed hydration by like 11:30, 12 o'clock. So sat there, slowly drinking water, checking my weight, making sure I'm not going above 153. But then I have to be hydrated at the same time, do you know what I mean? I think I drank 4 liters of water, checked my weight, 151. I done the hydration test six times.
You know they're doing a urine for this?
Yeah.
They see how hydrated you are.
See how hydrated you are. My piss was clear and all. They looked at it and he says, you're gonna pass. You walked in, fell. Like, what the fuck, lads? Do you know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
And you know why you brought it in? Because someone died cutting weight.
Yeah.
Come here, cutting weight is fucking dangerous, boy.
Very, very dangerous. So you're adding more danger to it here. The only way that this, like the hydration thing works is if people fight at the weight that you walk around.
Yeah.
Mm.
But no one does it.
No one does it.
You know what I mean? No one does it. And like, in some cases, like especially MMA fighters cut severe amounts of weight.
Yeah.
Like 15 kilos and all.
Yeah,
but look crazy. At Paddy the body there that he out there the other day. Do you not see what weight he's at?
He's up
nearly 200 pounds.
Yeah,
he's at 155.
That's 40 pounds
in 2 weeks.
Pounds, sorry.
Yeah, and he's at the Alex Pereira as well.
Yeah, he goes up the heavyweight. Do you know what I mean?
Just naturally,
it's frightening the amount of weight that he cut. And but yeah, that's a lot more dangerous than others. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. But like, if you can rehydrate yourself properly, you're fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like don't let fighters maybe cut severe amounts of weight, but don't like cap them with a hydration test either. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like 19 fighters missed weight or hydration on the same show as me. 19.
But that's what I don't
every
think,
fucking fight. Like, do you know what I mean?
I don't think people realise when you're saying cut weight, what you're actually doing is just cutting water out of your body.
Yeah,
you're not actually losing fat.
No.
Do you know what I mean? If you're wanting around 65 kilo.
Depends. So depends on where you are, what stage you are in your camp. At the start, you're gonna be a bit fluffier than usual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then you'll obviously lose a bit of body fat and trim up a little bit, get a little bit tighter here and there, do you know what I mean?
But at the nitty gritty stage,
it's literally just water.
Yeah.
And that's where it's dangerous though, because like you are dehydrating yourself so severely. Like, do you know what I mean? You're not dehydrating yourself at that moment, but when you cut that water from your body, you dehydrate your body. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you ever see some fighters, some boxers, boys, they get into a sauna with a sweatshirt on, the shadow boxing?
Yeah. You shouldn't at that stage.
That's death's door, that. That's death's door, boys.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The bat and all.
And who?
The bat is where it's
So what is that? What way does that work?
So what you do is you go in your water loads, yeah? So you'll drink anywhere up to 8 litres of water per day.
Yeah.
You take sodium, you take salt from your... cut it out completely from your diet. So your body just does not retain any water, yeah? And you do this over 3 or 4 days, your body will start dropping like about 1 kilo of water a day, yeah? I think it tricks your body into thinking it's flooding. So like anything, like you're pissing serious amounts out, yeah? Then after all that, there's fuck all sodium left in your body, so your body's not retaining water. So then when you go into a hot bath or a sauna, it just oozes water. Do you know what I mean? The hot bath is, you get the temperature to about 32 to 38 degrees and you put Epsom salt in it to draw the water from your body. And you just sit in it for 10 minutes, whatever you can. Then you'll go, you wrap yourself in a mummy. You just wrap yourself in a load of towels. Basically, what that does is just keeps the heat in. You know what I mean? So your body temp will reach a certain amount before you start sweating.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, this is what everybody does, but like, it's so dangerous for your body. Yeah. Like, there's nowhere in life that you should be doing that like that. It makes no sense.
Especially not a day before you're going to have a fight.
Like, yeah. You know, it's so counterproductive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Crazy. Whoever thought of it is a mad cunt, let's be honest.
But, you know, but everyone does it.
I'm going to cut this loud away. I'm going to be huge when I get in there and I'll punch the head off him.
It would have been fighters themselves, I'd imagine.
Do you
know what I mean?
100%.
Fight at this way and then some fella played 70 kilo.
I can make that way. Batter all them little lads.
but it's when you look at the likes of McGregor when he was fighting the lads at featherweight.
But Jeff, some boxing organisations, you have to weigh in on the day. You have to be that weight on the day.
Most Muay Thai fights, like most stadium fights, they do that as well. It's 7 a.m. you'll weigh in and then you'll fight 7 p.m.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whereas like,
you don't want to be cutting weight. At
you
that
can't. You can't cut weight then.
No,
you know?
That's your weight. Yeah.
Well, you within about 2 or 3 kilos.
Yeah, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Like, that's nothing. Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Koga, what can we do with the bleeding? What do you think needs to be done to make Muay Thai bigger?
I think it's ground itself, to be honest with you. From when I got into it, like, as we were saying, there was literally nothing for me to look up to. There was no shows that were, like, was like, that's where you go if you're gonna make it, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
One championship even though they have these hydration things and all that, it's the biggest show for Thai fighters, do you know what I mean? Now, there is other shows as well. There's the likes of UAM, there's still Muay Thai Grand Prix, there is big shows, but there's not a lot of money in them. Now, I think, like, you see the kids in my gym, like, they have a clear path. They can see, look, right, if you get the one championship, you're going to make good money now. Do you know what I mean? I think it's going to keep growing itself also. I just think, like, if you see any MMA fan, what do they like watching? Striking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Muay Thai in 4 ounce gloves is what they want to watch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a bit of grappling going on, and like, fuck all that hugging stuff. Do you know what I mean? That doesn't happen in Thai.
Tell us about your gym, Dublin Combat Academy,
Combat Academy, Me and a lad we started training with, Collie Martin, we were basically working at the gym that we were training at when I was Lionheart, and the lad that owned it was back and forth to Thailand quite a bit, so he was never really there, so we were constantly doing classes, and it came to a stage where we were like, look, we can do this, like, we can kind of do this on our own. We wanted to try and start making money as well, do you know what I mean? Working under someone, they're paying you sometimes, blading, not paying enough. And we made our own gym and literally started off with nothing at all. Like, you know what I mean? Me, Stefan, Collie, and one or two other lads, and that was it. Now, we probably, in my opinion, the best gym in the country. Like, the only two lads that fight for one championship is in our gym, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We've multiple world champions, as in kids and adults. Do you know what I mean? So we've built something good. Like,
yeah, Collie trains Sean O'Bannon, doesn't he?
As well, and Ian Garty, and multiple like MMA fighters. Like, he trains some of the best fighters in the world.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah, no, it's huge.
Yeah, no, I do see all your videos. You have everyone being clean the mats, and it's great to see you in cleaning the mats show everybody. Like, you know what I mean?
You have to do it. He's still playing. As a student at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, but a show is everyone's out. Someone might come in there thinking that Billy Big Bollocks, and you're like, oh, this is the fella who runs the gym, he's cleaning the mats. Shows everybody that, like, we're all a fucking on level playing.
You have to be, especially in a sport like this, you know what I mean? Like, an ego's gonna get you nowhere, really, like, let's be honest.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's the likes of this and publicising that you have a gym. You're a Muay Thai fighter. Mm. King Cowley's big as well. His team's doing very well.
Cowley's doing very well. He has some very good lads. Tom, Sohal. There's a few good lads in there as well, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's the likes of Jay Council as well, as you were saying. Yeah. So all these boys as well.
You know that gym up in Belfast, Lanka Muay Thai, they have good lads. Like there's a lot of good Irish lads coming through in Muay Thai at the minute.
Yeah, and this kind of circles back to what we were saying at the start. You know what I mean? It shows people there's another avenue you can go down in sport.
Yeah.
So maybe like boxing wasn't for someone, or you had a bad decision and turned you off. You know, you're not really into MMA. Yeah. Give. There's Muay Thai. There's a path. Yeah. One championship.
Supposedly, it's going into the Olympics as well. There was one of the fillers or something like that at this Olympics.
Right.
Supposedly next year it's going to be in the Olympics.
Right. As in one of the blading ones at the chop and change.
Yeah. No, I don't think the chop and change. It was like a halftime thing or something like that. I don't know. Like.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around why it's not bigger than it is. Yeah. Anyways, like you said, people love to see striking across come out, but it's great when you're watching MMA and huge jiu-jitsu, specialists and rolling. This is high level. But I mean, at the end of the day, people love knockouts, don't they, boys? Mm. And Muay Thai is so fucking full on, so intense. There's no breaks. Like you said, you stop fighting for a second, the ref just steps in, right? Go. Step back in. Bam. It's just non-stop. It's like the most exciting thing in the world. Yeah, there's just no money in it.
It's probably still in its infancy professional wise, isn't it? Like it reminds you of MMA 20 years ago.
Yeah, 100%.
That's probably 100%. What it is.
Yeah.
Like and, little blade back alley sport.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound disrespectful about it either, do you know what I mean? Because
you hear what Coco was saying there, like this when he's fighting for the world title for what, $2,000? Like years ago in MMA, 20 years ago, they would have been fighting for a world title for probably less. You know, and then like it just builds, gradually builds. Yeah. But in my head, it's like the most exciting thing that you can think of.
Yeah.
So if you're a fight fan, if you love boxing, it's great. The sweet science, isn't it, boys?
They have like good boxers in as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really good boxers in Thai.
I just mean if you enjoy striking.
Yeah, you're gonna enjoy Thai.
That's
boxing.
In a nutshell. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is the start of it then. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe you
was like fucking bollocks gets that out there now. What?
Well, no.
The new Thai gyms be booming, lads.
No, but like Muay Thai, like I said, I live beside Origins Muay Thai, and I'd be talking to the lads going in there and they're like, you need to be promoting Muay Thai. You know what I mean? There's lads getting paid nothing to fight. And look at fucking how intense it is. Mm-hmm. You're like, my God. Like, get in there and survive, pal. Yeah. That's right. Get in and survive.
Hold your hands up.
It's actually, do you know what you're saying at the start? You're a soft kid, but your brother's all for you.
No, yeah, well, they do now. Like, Lee didn't always for you.
Did he not know?
No. Lee started before me. I probably started fighting before Lee. We both fought. It was the MMA leagues at the time. There was no striking and it was basically jiu-jitsu with body shots.
Yeah.
We both fought on that, and then I went, and when I found the Muay Thai gym, I started fighting like actual fights. Do you know what I mean? Then Lee came to the Muay Thai gym and started fighting Muay Thai also. But Sam was the opposite. Sam was going down rugby. He was going down many routes. Do you know what I mean? He played rugby for a long time. Played Ga, played hurling, done a bit of everything. But he's going to be the best of the three of us.
Yeah.
Like by far. He's going to be something special. He's doing MMA though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying that as if you're holding it against him.
No. I'm ripping him.
Yeah.
He's popping all.
Yeah.
No, I'd love nothing more than seeing me a little bit of success. Do you know what I mean? Like, that'd make me happier than probably winning my own world titles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was doing that, got him into this. I'm doing that, kind of molded him to do this. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
My ma hated him down there. My ma never wanted him near the gym because me and Lee were always in the gym.
Yeah.
Always scrapping in the gaff and all. Do you know what I mean? She's like, fuck all that. Me little boy, do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
But he was getting bullied up in Cabra and I was like, fuck this. Like, he's to learn how to defend himself. Like, couldn't be having that.
Yeah, and look at the way it's at the panning out now.
Do you know what I mean?
No one's he's getting career. Fresh now, I tell you.
He's a big old lad as well, you know what I mean?
He's a big boy now, yeah.
Big boy.
Fucking what happened there? Just overnight?
The rugby. No, he was playing 100-odd kilo when he played rugby.
What's the story with that?
Ah, come on. I was looking at a diet plan that they gave him. It was like 6 slices of bread and fucking this and that. Like, it was proper.
How did he get into that? Was he in
Belvedere?
Yeah.
Got a scholarship to Belvedere.
Yeah.
Smart, smart kid as well. Yeah. Like, very intelligent. Not like me, Ali. Like, yeah. Still playing dogs, you know what I mean? Like my mum moved out of town when I think we were about 12 or something like that. And like that, she wanted the girls away and the madness. But we always just stayed in my nannies, do you know what I mean? We lived down in flats, like, but he was reared in Cabra. He was, wasn't near the flats, do you know what I mean? So he was soft, soft. But yeah, he got, his dad is a, I can't remember where he's from. I think he's from Wicklow originally, yeah. Like, his dad's a bit of a bogger, like, do you know what I mean? And no, he is, he's a countryman. But that's probably where he gets the soils as well from. But like that, they didn't want him to do any sort of combat sports. It was hauling a guy. He got into rugby through when he got to Belvedere, like.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
And then you was dragged him in to start playing, digging the head off him.
He was getting the head digged off him.
Yeah, but it's mad the way it worked. Like, I was like, no, no. And now looking at like, fucking.
Yeah, no, but that's it. Like,
you have to show back in her face and be like, told you.
Nah, I couldn't do that. Like, but like that, like, aunt, like, she just wants to see me go get a job. Do you know what I mean? She's probably thinking, like, why is he doing this shite? There's no money in this shite. He's gone getting his head busted for no reason. Like, do you know what I mean? And saying, like, she'd see the worst of it. She'd obviously see me come home and playing in tatters some day.
Black and blue, yeah.
And being, like, fucking broke. Well, chance is that now, but yeah.
Yeah.
She would have seen that at the start, so she would have been like, why are you doing this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not having a hurt or the baby in it. Oh, fuck that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, at least now you're bleeding. You're legit now.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Now, she has said it to me a few times, where it's been like, I'm glad you never listened to me, Craig. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
just nice to hear as well.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, you're in it together, like, as well. Like, you're putting bleeding bread on the table here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's nice. And the plug, I'll go out and coming up.
No, this is the thing with one. They don't really give you time frames. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was nearly 7 months waiting on like my second fight for them. Now, I think it's a thing where you keep fighters that are winning active. Do you know what I mean? But I reckon because I give a better account of myself than the first time, they'll get me going now. Do you know what I mean? Very close fight against one of the prospects. So let's hope that we get something similar later.
And will you be adjusting your camp now to tailor for the bleeding hydration shit?
Well, yeah. I had a nutritionist the first time, but I didn't actually, I thought I could have done it myself this time. I was like, I kind of guessed it. Do you know what I mean? Left myself a bit more weight than I should have left on bleeding. Probably wasn't eating the right types of food fight week, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd probably just get back onto my nutritionist and be like, boy, take me back, please.
Yeah. So we were talking about Corta earlier in the episode as well. So Ryan Curtis suffered a bad injury a couple of months ago and he needs money donated to the fundraiser to keep him going, help him in his recovery. So if anybody has anything there that they can donate, it doesn't matter how much it is or what it is, we just need people to donate and help him out. So the link will be in the description and there's a link on his Instagram page, Chaos Curtis, if you want to go over there and click on that and donate wherever you can, please. Thanks very much.
That's it, Terry.
Yeah,
thank and again, before we wrap up, shout out to FlyFit. 20 gyms all over the country, €35 a month, flyfit.ie, get on to it.
Boom.
Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by FlyFit. Smash your fitness goals guided by expert trainers at FlyFit. Visit flyfit.ie to sign up now. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Who are you waiting it now? Fill your body up in. Walk it hard and low. When you
the hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down, go down.